الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله viewers of Madani channel. Reciting Durood Sharif is an excellent means of attaining the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the qurba of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the closeness of our master alayhi salatu wa salam. In one narration we are told that the most closest to me on the Day of Judgment will be the one who sent the most salat upon me from amongst you. Meaning the Prophet alayhi salam is giving us a formula to be close to him. In the dunya, we try our utmost. We strive to be close to those with influence. Somebody who can help us out and benefit us. We find out through other people. What is the maqam of such a person? What is the rank of such a person? Will he be able to aid me in such a way? And when we find out that yes, I can personally benefit by being close to this individual, we try our utmost to be close to him. Now without comparison, we know and Allah Ta'ala has told us about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. We have exalted your remembrance. We have raised your remembrance. So this personality, meaning our Prophet alayhi salam, there's no doubt in the fact that he is maqbool, accepted in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And no doubt he can most definitely aid us and assist us as well. In the dunya, and more importantly in the akhirah as well. Now the question is, how many of us are trying, making efforts, endeavoring to gain that closeness on the Day of Judgment? Because in this hadith we're told, you want the closeness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what do? Recite salat upon him. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad. Very few words, yet the impact of those words, subhanallah, is that it leads you to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On the Day of Judgment, if you are successful in reciting salawat ala nabi in this world, in abundance, with kathra, then inshallah you will be close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the way he can benefit you on Yawm al-Qiyamah, nobody else can benefit you like that. He will open the door of intercession, shafa'ah. He is the one who will lead his ummatis to Jannah. So make the intention that daily you will try and recite salawat ala nabi. If you haven't already got a habit, start with a small number. 10 times, 20 times, 50 times, and then gradually increase that number. And then you will reach a stage by the mercy of Allah where you're not comfortable when you haven't recited X amount of Durood Sharif upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You'll feel restless that today I did everything else but I didn't make time to remember the beloved. How is this possible? So, one of the greatest ways of gaining the closeness of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is through salawat ala nabi. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to recite salawat ala nabi in abundance. Ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The scholars of Islam have told us that ad-deenu kulluhu adabun. That this deen of ours, this religion of ours, this beautiful deen of Islam, what does it comprise of? If you want to sum it up, if you want to define it, what would you say? The deen is adab in totality. It's all about showing reverence and respect to others. It's a very beautiful way of defining a deen. So inshallah, we will hear today about the importance of showing respect. Showing respect to whom? Your parents, your elders, your grandparents, people in dignified positions, the scholars of Islam, the muftis of Islam. And when you show adab, you can attain that which you could not attain otherwise. You could have all the money in the world, But what you can attain through adab, you cannot attain through anything else. Let us begin with an account from the early period of Islam. One of the greatest saints of this ummah, Sayyiduna Bayazid Bistami Rahmatullahi Ali. He says, on a cold, bitter night, my mother asked me for a glass of water. So I got the glass of water, went to her bedside, and by the time I reached there, she had fallen asleep. And what would a normal person do? He'd probably just go back. That, look, I brought water for her, but she fell asleep. But Bayazid Bistami Rahmatullahi Ali was different. He stood there with glass in hand, waiting for his mother to wake up so he can pass her the glass of water. He says, because of the cold night, obviously a person shivers on a cold night as well, the glass, some of the drops of water came onto my finger and turned into ice. My fingers are around the glass of water. There's ice on them as well. So you can imagine when he separated his hand from that glass, the pain he felt as well. His mother, when she awoke, she asked him, "O Bayazid, what are you doing?" And he says, that, mother, you asked for a glass of water. I stood here. Meanwhile, some of the water came onto my finger, turned into ice. And when I pulled my finger away, my hand away, some of my skin came off. Because of this, I began to bleed. And this is when his mother made a dua for him. Precious dua, valuable dua. And as stated a few moments ago, you can't buy things like this. This is through your adab, this is through your actions that you attain such duas. Look at this dua that he made. And everyone, let's be honest, wishes that their mother makes this dua for them. And we should go to our mothers, our fathers, and we should beg them and say, make this dua for me. Sayyidina Bayazid Bistami Rahmatullahi Ali's mother made dua. Oh Allah Azza wa Jal, I am pleased with him, you also become pleased with him. Meaning his mother made a dua. Remember, your mother's duas are accepted for you. Your father's duas are accepted for you. Sometimes we forget that we have awliya in our homes in the form of parents. That their duas, when they raise their hands for us, will inshallah be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A hadith state this. But we forget and we don't ask them to make dua. But look at this act of adab shown by Bayazid Bistami Rahmatullahi Alayhi. His mother made dua spontaneously. Ya Allah, I am happy with him. You also become happy and pleased with him as well. And subhanAllah, we know what happened thereafter. He attained great ranks of wilaya. Something that can't be purchased, that can't be bought with all the money in the world. Your mother makes dua for you, you may be in the most difficult of situations. Insha'Allahul Aziz, through the blessings of her duas, even mountains of problems will go away from your life. So, this was the dua made for her child by Bayazid Bistami's mother. And in the Quran, we're told about the adab towards parents. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us? Bayazid Bistami knew about this. He was a scholar of the religion. He knew about Quran and Hadith, what instructions have been given. So in the Quran, and in particular Surah Bani Israel, part 15, verse 23 and 24, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا وَاخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Translation, and treat parents with goodness. If one of them or both reach old age in front of you, so do not even say uff to them. And do not scold them and speak to them with words of respect. And spread for them the arm of humbleness with a soft heart. And request humbly that, O my Lord, have mercy on them both, just as they brought me up in my childhood. This is the teaching of the Quran, dear brothers in attendance and viewers of Madani Channel. So, the favors of the parents upon us, throughout their life, they favor us. They sacrifice their own desires for us. When they reach old age, they have no energy in their limbs. They're suffering. They're in pain. And at that time when they need us most, how unfortunate is that individual who is not there for his parents? Or instead, he considers them a burden. His parents didn't consider him a burden when he was born. He had to be fed milk numerous times a day. His nappy was changed. The mother sacrificed her sleep just for his well-being. But when that child, he's grown up now, he's independent now, his mother and father need him, and he thinks to himself, wait a minute, if I serve them, they'll become an obstacle, a hindrance in my path. Ma'adallah, Allah forbid, that I have this to achieve yet, and I have that to achieve. They've become a massive test for me. What should I do? Let me just place them into an old folks home. Na'udzubillah. This is happening. And not only in the Western world, even in Muslim countries, more and more old folks homes are being developed. And this is a shame upon the Muslim Ummah. They cannot do this azim act, this great act of serving their parents, helping them when the parents are most in need of their help. So remember, it's all about adab. Deen is all about adab. Your parents need you. Imagine, you served your parents. You sacrificed, just as they sacrificed when you were young. You put your own goals to the side, some of them. And you said, look, no, I'm going to serve my parents. I'm going to earn Jannah. And because of that, they make such a dua for you that you are granted forgiveness by Allah. You're granted entry into Jannah without accountability. Tell me, who is more fortunate than that person? Nobody is more fortunate than that person. His parents are pleased with him, Allah is pleased with him. So this is one aspect of the deen where we must show adab towards our parents. And remember one thing, mothers are spoken about often, and rightly so. Jannah lies beneath the feet of mothers. Al-Jannatu tahta aqdamil ummahat. This is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But we forget that the father is one of the middle doors of Jannah. People neglect the father, they begin to prioritize and give tarjih to their mother at the expense of the father. That's not the way of a Muslim. The father is out of the home for hours on end, earning for the children, just to make sure that they don't go hungry. He pays the bills. He goes through so much mashakka and hardship. And if children neglect him, don't respect him, then this is very unfortunate as well. Listen to a few sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this regard. The first narration, this is found in Sunan al-Tirmidhi. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the pleasure of Allah Almighty is found in the pleasure of the father, and the displeasure of Allah Almighty is found in the displeasure of the father. Meaning your father's happy with you, that's your certificate, that's your endorsement. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with you as well. And conversely, if your father is unhappy with you, displeased with you, Allah is also displeased with you. And this is again a problem of our time. We try to please the whole world, and there are many people who are in this situation where they don't even speak to their parents. They've cut off ties with their parents. And silatu rahim is wajib. Those blood relatives, your parents foremost, you have to maintain ties with them. This is what the religion commands. Another narration in this regard, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this is in Al-Mu'jam al-Awsat of Imam Tabarani, the hadith book, that obedience to the father is actually obedience to Allah Almighty. And disobeying the father is disobeying Allah Almighty. So we know where we stand in this regard. We all can ponder upon our lives. If we actually follow the advice of our parents are happy with us, alhamdulillah. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be grateful to him that he's given you this tawfiq. And if our situation is the opposite, parents are displeased with us, stressed because of us, they commanded us to do something in accordance to Sharia and we neglect it, we ignore them, then we must work on this. We must repent from this and we must rectify this. Otherwise, the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be earned. Another hadith, and this is in Sunan al-Tirmidhi as well. The father is the middle door of Jannah. the middle door of paradise. If you want, you may lose it, and if you want, you may protect it. The Prophet ﷺ said, it's up to you. How much desire do you have to protect this door of Jannah? If you want to lose it, go ahead, disrespect your father, ma'adallah. And if you want to preserve it, you want to protect it, there's only one way, make your father happy. So, respecting parents is very, very important. Let's move on and listen to the importance and even the blessing, the outcome of respecting pious people of the deen, the salihin, the righteous, the awliya, the ulama, the muftis of the deen, those who have spent their entire lives serving the deen, learning the deen, studying Quran and hadith, so that when we face a problem, we can go to the alim sahab, we can go to the scholar and say, Huzur, I have this question. Oh scholar, I have this question regarding this matter. It may be to do with halal and haram, it may be to do with business, it may be to do with namaz, it may be to do with anything. You go to the scholar, the mufti of Islam, and he satisfies you, he gives you the answer. What respect must be shown? Remember, the ulama say that if you ponder, just as your parents are affectionate towards you, the ulama are also affectionate towards the ummah as well. In fact, to some degrees, they are more affectionate. How? Your parents, they will try everything to ensure that you are safe from worldly harm. They will try and protect you from worldly fires, worldly accidents, worldly calamities. But the ulama, by guiding you, by instructing you, by advising you, they are protecting you from the fire of hell. They are protecting you from the calamities that could be faced in the hereafter. So, we are indebted to the ulama. And how must we behave with the ulama? We should be respectful before them. We should ensure that we're not, ma'azallah, cursing them, taunting them, speaking bad of them, backbiting them. And if that alim happens to be maqbool in the awam, amongst the awam, and he is known for his sainthood as well, his wilaya, then we have to be even more careful. Alim, being an alim, this was sufficient for us to be cautious in how we approach him, how we speak to him. Then on top of that, if he's recognized as from the salihin, from the awliya, then we have to be even more careful. And if we do gain success in respecting the ulama, the sulaha, the awliya, what are the rewards? Listen to this account that I'm about to mention. Once a sinful person was sitting at the riverbank and was washing his hands and face, but all of a sudden he saw the great imam of the time, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi ta'ala. He's one of the four imams of the schools of fiqh. So you have Imam Abu Hanifa, who's known as Al-Imam Al-A'zam radiyallahu an, founder of the Hanafi school of fiqh. Then you have Imam Shafi'i, founder of the Shafi'i school. You have Imam Malik, he's a founder and pioneer of the Maliki school. And you have Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal radiyallahu ta'ala, who is the founder and the leader of the Hanbalis, those who follow that school of fiqh. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi approached, and he also began using the water to do wudu. This sinful person thought to himself that the flow of water going towards Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, that's not right, that's not appropriate. This is a great imam of our time, and the water that I'm using to wash myself, wash my hands and face, is flowing in his direction. Let me go on the other side. So he goes on the other side. And what he also benefits from is the fact that now the water being used by Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi is flowing in his direction. And he's on the receiving end. And he's happy about this. Alhamdulillah, the imam of the time, the water is flowing from him towards me. This is a good sign, good omen. What happened to him? What result occurred because of this act of great adab shown by him? He passed away. Somebody saw him in a dream and asked him, "Ma fa'ala Allahu bika?" That how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deal with you? Listen to what he said. He said, due to me respecting, honoring, and showing reverence to the great Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, Allah Almighty forgave me. Allah ta'ala granted me forgiveness. This is adab towards the awliya, the sulaha, the ulama. And we live in a time where unfortunately, every person, be it a layman, someone who has no knowledge of the deen, feels he is in a position to critique what the ulama say, what the scholars say, what the awliya say. Well, I don't agree with this, and I think he's wrong here, I think he's erred here. And it may be the case that same person who is criticizing doesn't know how to perform wudu correctly. So, intellectual debates, ikhtilaf between ulama has existed. And the Prophet ﷺ even mentioned that this is a mercy. And we have the different schools of fiqh. But for awam, we have to be very careful. And if we're not showing adab, and we fall into disrespect, then we can suffer great loss. Instead, we should be focusing on acts like this. Look at this sinful person. But he had, subhanallah, been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this way of thinking, this mindset that if I show adab to the awliya, I will definitely benefit. And he did benefit. Allah ta'ala granted him forgiveness for his act of respect towards the great Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. When you don't show respect to those who Allah has given positions of authority, what happens? A person becomes an outcast, becomes rejected, mardood. Look at shaitan. Shaitan, who is our open enemy, in the Quran he's been described as aduwwun mubeen, clear enemy. Someone we should avoid at all costs. Do you know that shaitan in the initial period, initial stages, was not wicked and evil? He was from the jinn kind, but because of his piety, because of his righteousness, because of his ibadah and worship, he became mu'allimul malakut. He became the teacher of the infallible angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He became a teacher to the angels. But the biggest test he faced, Allah ta'ala created Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. The angels prostrated, but Iblis did not prostrate. Why didn't he prostrate? He developed arrogance that I am the teacher of the angels, I have worshipped across the globe. In fact, according to one opinion, there's not a place on the earth that he did not prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As some narrations mentioned, for 80,000 years he worshipped Allah azza wa jal. But that moment of disrespect, bi'adabi, towards this great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who Allah granted authority and position to, and he thought to himself, I can't prostrate to Sayyidina Adam. I'm greater. This was his logic, that you created me from fire, you created him from clay, from soil. Allah Ta'ala, from that day forward, made him an outcast. He became rejected. He had to descend to the earth. He was made to leave Jannah. Iblis disrespected a prophet of Allah. And this is his outcome, that forever he is accursed. And there's no way back for him. And according to the scholars, that whatever you attain in life, this is the mindset that we should have as well, whatever we attain in life is because of our adab towards the creation of Allah, specifically our parents, our elders, the awliya, the sulaha, the pious people of the ummah. And whatever we're deprived from, it is because of our disrespect. The Arabic saying is, Ma wasala man wasala illa bil hurma. Whoever attained anything good, it was due to hurma, meaning his adab, his respect. Wama saqata man saqata illa bi tarki al hurma. That nobody was deprived of anything except due to him abandoning adab. Ad-deenu kulluhu adabun. So we must show respect. And remember here, elders should be showing shafaqah, compassion towards the youngsters, and the youngsters should be respecting the elders. In a hadith, we're told that if someone helps an elderly person, respects him, Allah Ta'ala, in this person's old age, will also make someone from creation help him and respect him in his old age as well. So this is why we must ensure we're respecting our elders. And elders must show shafaqah towards the youngsters. It works both ways. Everyone has their rights. So it shouldn't be the case that the elders are constantly saying to the youngsters, I'm older, you must respect me, whilst they themselves are scolding the youngsters. And the youngsters shouldn't say to the elders, well, that we've studied the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you must show mercy to the youngsters and you're not showing mercy. It doesn't work like that. So everyone should study the deen, everyone should understand what rights are binding upon them as well. And when they're busy focusing on the rights that they have to fulfill, they won't have time to make these complaints to others. Going back to it, the elder brother is also worthy of respect. In Islam, the father passes away, the eldest brother is like the father figure now. And he must be shown respect as well. And unfortunately, we hear things that people, young brothers, siblings, they curse the elder brothers. They speak ill of them. They cut off ties with them. This shouldn't be the case. That if Allah Ta'ala, the religion of Islam, has given so much maqam to the elder brother, in that in the absence of the father, he is like the father, then we must respect him. But similarly, the elder brother must think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made me a guardian over my younger siblings. And as such, I must protect them. I must preserve them. I must think about their well-being, what is better for them. So it goes back to what we were saying a few moments ago. Everyone should realize their own responsibilities. Everyone must show adab. And when we all have this same mindset, we're all on the same wavelength, inshallah, azza wa jal, you will see in society how, alhamdulillah, the Muslim communities will flourish and prosper. If everyone's thinking, no, if I'm not showing respect, I'm not going to show respect, and this person reacts in this way to me, and I'm going to treat him in the same manner, nothing will be resolved. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went as far as saying that give to the one who deprives you, forgive the one who oppresses you, and mend ties with the one who cuts off with you. Sil man qata'ak. This is what the Prophet alaihi wasallam said. We hear these hadiths, but how many of us implement them? So we talk the talk, but how many of us actually implement the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This is the test of our character, our iman. That somebody is depriving us, we're told to give to him. How many of us give? Those who try to break off ties with us, we're told by the Prophet alaihi wasallam to mend ties with them. And we're told to forgive those who do wrong to us. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course. So, adab is something that is indispensable. We cannot do without. Drawing the bayan to an end, just a few more adab, and these in particular refer to a student and a teacher. Growing up in the West, we're not taught any of this. And Islamically speaking, the maqam, the martaba granted to a teacher, especially a dini teacher, an Islamic teacher, somebody who teaches you about Allah and His Messenger, Quran and Hadith, subhanAllah, when you read about the adab that is mentioned by the ulama, let me just mention a few points. Here it's mentioned that a student of knowledge should not begin a conversation before his teacher. He should wait for the teacher to begin the discussion. A student should not sit in the place his teacher does, even in the latter's absence. Even walking, the adab is not to precede the teacher when walking behind him. It's also mentioned that humbleness and humility should be displayed before the teacher, even if only one letter was learned from them. Regardless of how little you studied with them, you still show adab towards them. And it is this adab that will make you reach great heights. Also, if the teacher is at home, the adab, the etiquette is that you don't continuously knock on his door. You wait for the teacher to come out. And we know about the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Alayhim Ajma'in, when they would go to the blessed living chambers of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the residence of our Master Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, they would knock but with their nails. They would not knock with their knuckles, their fists. They wouldn't bang the door. And imagine knocking with your nails. It doesn't make much noise. But this was their adab in the court of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They didn't want to fall amongst those who interrupt the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or cause any disturbance to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is their level of ihtiyat. Where are we today? And it says here, whoever gives any form of pain or difficulty to their teacher will remain deprived from the blessings of knowledge. Someone wants to become an alim of the deen, a scholar of the religion, yet he disrespects his teacher or his teachers, then there's no way he can attain what he set out for, unless he repents, he rectifies his ways. How can someone continue disrespecting their teachers, the same people who taught them, the same people he's benefiting from, and then he expects to be a great scholar of Islam and serve Islam in a grand way. It's not possible. So, today we heard about the importance of adab. Ad-deenu kulluhu adabun. The deen comprises of adab in totality. It's all about adab. Adab towards your parents, adab towards your teachers, adab towards the ulama, the awliya, the sulaha, people in positions of authority. Adab among siblings as well. Respect one another. There shouldn't be this sibling rivalry. We should have immense affection, mahabba, devotion towards one another, brothers and sisters, your relatives, your uncles, your aunties. Respect all those people. And inshallah, when you respect them from the heart, sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will see the blessings in both worlds. Child is seeing how a parent is, you know, treating his own parents, the grandparents, and he will learn from that. If the parents scold their own parents, ma'adhullah, speak harshly towards them. The Quran has said, don't even say uff towards parents, meaning anything that harms them. But the parents are showing that sort of behavior, what do you think the child will learn? Similarly, with all of the relations that we have mentioned, if parents are showing adab to teachers, to ulama, to sulaha, to those who Allah Ta'ala has granted authority and maqam, then inshallah the child will do so as well. So children learn by example. We have to be exemplaries for them. We have to show perfect adab, inshallah. And then our children will also become ba-adab as well. This is the goal. This is the maqsad. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forever make us and keep us amongst those people who are ba-adab, respectful, and save us from disrespectful people and save us from showing disrespect as well. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
For the sake of Medina, we are calling upon you all.